back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Wednesday morning. Text line, get them in, 251-343-0106 if you want to respond to any of the banter you're hearing on this program. Still come on the program about a half hour from now. State Senator Lance Bell will join us here on the program. That is coming up at the top of the 11 o'clock hour. Then I don't know what we're going to do with the 11:30 block yet. We may have somebody, you may just hear me ramble about things I should not be pretending to be an expert on. But joining us now, he is usually on Fridays, but I am out Friday, and I said, what an opportunity to get him here in person, our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm usually in a better mood on Fridays because it's Friday and I'm back home and I'm not here in Montgomery. So I don't know. We'll see how this goes.
How's the mold-infested air hit you yet?
You know, I guess I'm immune to it or it would have killed me by now because this building is just falling in on itself. I mean, I think we've quit replacing light bulbs in it. We just don't even care anymore.
Senator, the internet in this building, you guys want us to trust you, well, not you, but the general you, with laying fiber optic cable in random counties in this state to bring rural broadband to a cornfield. Yet in your own building here, you're not really getting the job done, are you?
I have a Starlink upstairs. You're welcome to use it if you like.
This is pretty treacherous. Well, I guess yesterday, and I tee this up for you, and you take it where you want, but the ADVA bill, it got through. It looked like there was some parliamentary shenanigans, but I don't know the rules. I don't know how this works as well as you do. What went down yesterday?
So, first of all, Senator Jones is a very capable bill sponsor. He understands the rules well, and he knows what he's doing. He originally brought the bill up last week, got the budget isolation resolution passed, needed to do that in order for us really to even take up the bill. That would have required 21 votes to get that. Interestingly, yesterday the bill passed with 21 votes. So that was kind of out of the way. Then we amended heavily the bill. I tried to communicate as best I could with my veteran friends in South Alabama about what the bill now said. Got a lot of feedback. Not one positive comment, for whatever it's worth, not a single one.
All right.
And then Senator Jones substituted the bill on the floor. And, you know, for your listeners, the substitute is just what it sounds like, a completely new piece of legislation.
Well, hold on. Like, wasn't there a step missing where they were going to carry it over and deal with this next week maybe? And
well,
that was
so,
the perception?
So the bill came up and it was carried over essentially to write the new bill. Okay, so we're going through the process. It's first on the agenda. It comes up and they went, hey, we don't have the votes to pass what we did last week. And so Senator Jones really did, I would say, completely change the bill. So he took what the governor wanted. Then he took what we had added to what the governor wanted, gutted all of that, and added a substitute. Now, here was my problem. I was handed the substitute after asking for the thing so that I could, read it and figure out what I was voting on. I asked, you know, my colleague to allow the veterans to take a look at it and see. And at that point in the procedure, he was in a position where debate was going to be limited on that bill from a parliamentary standpoint.
So you couldn't have filibustered it.
You really couldn't. I mean, you could have drawn it out for another hour or so, but that had been about it. And so, you know, that's all well and good, but you operate under some good faith to get to that point. And then this kind of switcheroo here with a new bill. Now, look, the bill is not a shadow of what the governor wanted. Okay. It's got the Veterans Commission commissioner being appointed by the governor and serving at the pleasure of the governor. It leaves all of the Veterans Commission board intact, essentially. But it is reasonable, and Senator Jones said this at the mic yesterday in the well, look, it's you really take away the authority of that board. You can't have a government or a governor appointee who serves at the pleasure of the governor who's not responsible to the governor. I mean, at that point, she's in charge. And so the board that is left as a vestige is really only an advisory board. And I think that's what the veterans have a problem with.
It's just like, what's the point now? Because, well, we've established that the governor can fire the commissioner, but now the board, I guess, doesn't get the privilege or role of hiring, of appointing, or whatever. It's now in the governor's hands. So it's like it's a substantial change from what the board was doing. But the board, the way it was explained to me, Senator, was it still has some budgetary responsibilities.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, I still haven't read the whole thing. I mean, I got done yesterday. I was a little disgusted because I had, you know, less than 5 minutes to read a piece of legislation that, frankly, I wanted to have the opportunity for, you know, the veterans in my community to give me some feedback. They're more familiar with the board and how it works and how they work with it and what's good and what's bad. And so I wish that we had the opportunity to have that discussion instead of just voting on it. And so we'll see what the House does with it. I would encourage the House members to take their time to talk to veterans and for veterans to continue to stay involved and engaged in this issue and talk to their House members.
Well, and talking to Ed Oliver, the chairman there in the House, he's going to be a conference committee, and you guys are going to get another bite of this apple. That they're going to make some changes to what they sent downstairs.
Well, that's a good thing. It might be the one time I think that's a good thing, because we need to stop, take a breath, quit doing the Nancy Pelosi move, where we're not giving everybody a chance to read it and understand what's going on. And that's not just for me, you know. I'm a little irked at how that is handled, but that's for the constituents that I represent. They deserve me having time to look at something and read it. 5 minutes isn't enough. And oh, by the way, we're talking about our veterans. They damn sure deserve the opportunity to look at it.
Well, you know, whatever you think of the bill, you know, if it's a good or bad bill or whatever, just from this position I'm in as a radio host, and I hear from radio listeners, The veterans do not like this bill. Rational, irrational, whatever. Justified, unjustified. They get to say, no, we don't think this is a good idea. And it just seems like it's falling on deaf ears.
Well, we discount the opinions of our veterans at our own peril. At the end of the day, again, I don't know of another group in this state who has done more to earn our respect and earn the time to look at what we're doing with their board than our veterans. And we didn't do that yesterday.
Well, this I think this goes on. You got a big veterans rally coming up in a week or so. And just I haven't heard anybody, any veteran. Now, look, I don't go out and poll these things or ask or solicit these. But I damn sure hear from veterans who are against it. But I haven't heard that many for it. Have you?
I've heard some that say there need to be some reform. I've heard some that say, hey, this needs to be updated. There's a perfectly reasonable group of folks that says, hey, we need to look at the makeup of this because we don't have as many veterans in this particular subset anymore, right? We don't have that many prisoners of war that are still, you know, with it. And that's a good thing, right? And so do we need to update it? Yes. But what is the hurry? Why are we rushing this? Why can't we sit down and talk with them? The governor's already fired the Veterans Commissioner. She got what she wanted. Why are we rushing this?
Well, that begs the next question, and I'm going to give you a layup here. You can take it or not. I mean, is this just the governor still bitter from that whole episode that's driving this train?
Yes, and that's her, and that's okay. She's been like that, and I've learn to live with that, but why is she making us complicit in it? And why are we going along with it?
Well,
that's her fight.
I'm giving this a lot of thought, Senator. I think I understand why the House sponsor is going along with it. It is sort of weird that you have a Senate sponsor who's really, really, I mean, this is like, it's a weird hill to die on.
It is. And again, you know, everybody's up for election here soon. So
well, you said, you know, like just among you and your colleagues, you sponsor Andrew Jones, you know, got it to a point through good faith that you wouldn't do something like this. And now he's torched a bridge, I would think. And I don't know what that means for him going forward and his ability to move bills, but I got to think it's hurt somewhat, right?
I don't want to get in that situation again. And there is certainly less good faith today than there was yesterday.
Okay, and so that being said, I mean, you can read it any way we want to into that. Why would he put himself out and put himself in this position for this? It is, I don't know. I mean, I should ask him. I probably will at some point, but that's the head scratcher.
I'll let him answer that question.
Well, joined by State Senator Chris Elliott. Here on the program, we're back to 2 day weeks. You're feeling better, or are you just counting down the days?
It's 7-8 days in here, or 7, I guess, legislative days. It's been a whirlwind so far. We have gotten a lot of good things done. I've been really proud of, I've talked about this as Senator Gudger's leadership really hitting hard on things that focus on Alabama values. We've done that. We've moved our immigration package efficiently and effectively through the Senate. Some of those bills have started to hit House committee today. Those are working very well. We need to move on to the government efficiency part of our agenda, which will happen soon. I've got 6 committee meetings today, so appreciate you working on scheduling with me. But, we got big things like, pharmacy benefit manager bills.
That looks like it's got some heavy hitter sponsors.
It does. And look, the pharmacists, I just left a public hearing on that. The pharmacists have a good point. They cannot be put in a situation where they're getting reimbursed less than what their cost is. That's an unsustainable business model. It's also true to say that you can add cost into the system and pay people more for drugs and not expect for it to cost people more money. And so, the people that say, oh, this won't cost any more if we pay pharmacists more, I find that intellectually dishonest. I'm not an economist or a mathematician, but at the end of the day, if you pay somebody more for something, that's going to come out of somebody's pocket. And guess what? It ain't going to be the big pharmacy company. It's going to be us.
It's not going to be CVS or Walgreens or whatever.
Absolutely not. And are they making too much money? Maybe so. But at the end of the day, everybody just needs to realize this is going to cost more.
Does it seem predatory? Is that even the I don't understand this issue enough, but you look at the way they tell it, it does seem predatory that it's forcing them out of business and giving these big pharmacists a bigger market share.
It may be, and that may be where the free market has led us. And we may very well, as a legislature, need to make a decision that will cost our constituents more money. That may be the public policy decision we make, that there is value in independent pharmacists, that we want to keep them around, that we need to pay them more. And if that's the decision, then that's the decision.
This is always the argument, like the big pharmacies get the market cornered, they run all the independent pharmacists out. They jack up their prices anyway. Yeah,
and that's no different from bigger businesses, right? Whether it's a Walmart or a big box store or anything else. And so this is a public policy decision we're going to face. But make no mistake, it's going to cost more. And so I'm happy. I love our independent pharmacists. I've talked to a bunch of them. They're great people. Some of them are friends of mine. But I don't want to continue with this discussion from a legislative standpoint without absolutely understanding it's going to cost more.
Well, is there a way to quantify it? Are we talking a percentage or something like that? Do we have any idea?
The estimates I've heard are hundreds of millions of dollars. Now, you divide that by a couple million.
Well, I mean, but are these estimates coming from, like, the usual Blue Cross Blue Shield types?
Some of them are, and that's why I said, hundreds of millions of dollars, because I've seen estimates of $300 million. I've seen estimates of $500 million. And so let's just realize it's going to cost more, and then, we may not know until we figure out what gets passed on to the consumer. I just don't know how to pay more for something and it not cost more to cover it. That's just basic economics.
It's an interesting perspective, because there's so much noise from the anti-PMBM crowd. And then you get a little astroturf with the people who are trying to keep the current system in place, but understanding that there is a cost-benefit analysis that has to be done around this, right?
And it may be one that we decide, hey, we come out on the independent pharmacist side. That's a perfectly reasonable place to end up. It's just going to cost more.
Well, do you don't suspect there was something going on here? Like I said, predatory practices, it's up to you guys to the whole the line on that, right?
And we may, again, we may very well end up in the situation where we decide there is a public policy value in doing that. I cannot figure out how it doesn't cost more.
Last question here. What else you got going on here as we wind up the work week?
Well, we've still got to get to Alpha Care and that issue with Blue Cross. So we've got it's just health insurance and PBM stuff all over the place.
It's better than gambling, though, right?
It is better than gambling.
Hey, there was a Yellowhammer event last night, and my colleague Dale Jackson, I was on his show this morning. He thinks there's real energy behind a PCI-ish gambling bill this session coming out of their big confab last night. What do you say to that?
I think that there's always a chance, but I've also seen it die more than I've seen it pass.
Yeah, well, I'm not as bullish as maybe that crowd was last night. But anyway, thank you for coming by. I know you're very busy, but at least you got your Friday morning now. You don't have to listen to questions from me, but we appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Bohr Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.